What's good, everybody? First, before you listen to this podcast, I just want to say I love you guys and just appreciate with all my heart. I hope everybody's doing super well. I also want to talk about the new hit show, Tea with Gary Vee, every morning, 9 a.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gary. Tea with Gary Vee, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., 2 hours of me doing Q&A with people individually, the deepest in-depth that I've ever done, more than Ask Gary Vee. I'm super excited about it. It's on facebook.com/Gary every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. It's a smash. If you go on social media, people are freaking out. Maybe my best content pillar ever. If you want to get your questions on it, you can ask at 212-931-5731 on my community app. That's where we're taking the questions from. And what I mean by that is you ask the question there, use hashtag T with Gary V, and then somebody from my team goes in there and contacts you and actually gets you to be in the prompt for asking the question on the show in video form to then distribute out to Facebook. T with Gary V, the new smash hit show, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern. West Coast, wake up at that 5:45 time, brush your teeth and get on it. We got a lot of West Coast people on it. Hope you enjoy it. Hope I see you there. Love you guys. See ya.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Yeah, okay, it's T with Gary V. Sipping empathy. I know patience is the key. Putting out all of my shit for free. This is T with Gary V. Might go make a flip. Take a risk.
Good morning. I am ready to rock and roll. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dustin. Good morning, all the people in the chats. Joel with Growing Design, thank you for joining us. Jokes on the World, thank you for being here. Thanks for everybody on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. I see all of you guys in here. And gals, Virginia, Fernando, good morning. Let's get into the show. Actually, it was a big one. Let's get right into it.
Good morning, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, good morning. What's up, Mike?
How are you?
Good.
I'm Sebastian. This is Oliver.
Nice to meet you.
And basically, I just wanted to asking you because I know that you used to work with your dad, and we're brothers and we work together. So I wanted to know if you had any like tips for working with family.
Yeah, and I worked with my brother when we started Vayner Media, and my brother and I worked together on Vayner Sports. So, look, Oliver, Sebastian, I think the biggest thing that people make the mistake with family businesses is a lot of things. Actually, first of all, if you're capable of loving each other more than the money and the fame and the respect, that will always play out. I genuinely believe that that above everything else, like just truly valuing the relationships with my brother and dad, like more than the money and the accolades really, really matter. Then the other thing is over communicating to each other about dollars and the like kind of respect. I think one of the reasons that my brother and I worked so well together was my brother was more confident and more comfortable with me being the front man and getting the credit, and he valued the dollars, you know, not more, but like he was fine with that. And for me, I value the dollars less than being the guy, right? I want to be the guy. With my dad, we had more of that friction point of like, who's the guy? And that made it more difficult. But still we were kind of able to overcome, you know, the friction. This is just ego and respect and money. Those are the two places. And that's why it's so hard. Most people actually care about money and get into fights over it. Or they actually care about why did you sell all that merchandise? Was it Sebastian? Was it Oliver? And there's that ego and then there's the legacy of it. And then, you know, it's balancing humility and wanting credit. You know, there's just a lot of like real raw emotions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, decision-making is really tough because we both have valid points. And I never would say that Sebastian's wrong at anything, but I would say that when I come up with like my point or my perspective and he comes up with his perspective, it's really tough to balance out each other and,
You know what's really worked for both of my family businesses? Dividing and conquering. Because you can't have two cooks in the kitchen. Because to your point, Oliver, like, it's not that you think Sebastian's wrong. It's that by you saying it should be red and him saying it should be blue, just in that small thing, you know, when you're passionate about your thing, you want to see your thing come to life. It's not even about being right or wrong. It's not seeing it come to life the way you envisioned it in your brain.
That's true.
I really mean this. Like, I think where people get caught is they try to both do the same thing. And I think dividing and conquering matters. Like when you have two cooks in the kitchen, you have no cooks in the kitchen, just friction. So for example, just because you guys are wearing it, if you're doing merch, I would just look, if I was like the third brother, be like, hey, here's the strategy. If I was the third older brother, here's the strategy. We're going to make 9 pieces of merch and everybody make their own 3 pieces. And who gives a fuck if the fonts are different? And who gives a fuck if, like, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes, because that will work better, you know, because then merit can breathe versus it being convoluted. And what ends up happening when it doesn't work or when it does work, you know, when it doesn't work, you're doing this. You're like, see, it was your fucking, you know, even though both of your DNA is in it. And when it does work, even though it's blended, then both are saying this, and you get into that friction point. And that's why I think dividing and conquering might really matter as well. Joint decisions are impossible for a business.
Okay.
That, you know, like back to like sports, you don't have 2 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You have 2 quarterbacks, but one's on the bench. They're not both out there grabbing the ball. Same with business. Like, there is no co-CEO. It doesn't work.
True.
But what you could do is, if your partners, is divide and conquer. And literally, you know, with one thing, you know, you almost want to write down every task and then pick one person to be 1A and one person to be 1B.
Okay.
And what that means, you know, AJ and I had a really good rule, which was if we actually couldn't get to a joint decision through a conversation, I would make the final call because I was a CEO. You know, like that was basically the punchline. And that really worked. And, you know, and he was great at, like, kind of, you know, sticking to that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, with my dad, I really let him work on the finances and I kind of operated, but it was his business and he was used to operating. And so when he would kind of try to make a joint decision or a post decision or just my decision, that's when a lot of friction happened, especially with when you've got employees underneath you, you know?
How long have you been working with your brother and dad?
My whole life, you know, in essence. I mean, still to this day, basically every professional day of my life, I've been in that place. And I'll be honest with you, like when I'm most by myself is when it's most enjoyable. You know? I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, in the years where my dad was really letting me run the business, it was like, great. You know, Vayner was really easy. AJ really gave me that spot. But even after he left and went to run Vayner Sports, it was even better. You know, it's hard when you're a one to share the ball. And it's not because you're greedy or you're mean or you're selfish. It's that, you know, decisions drive a business. And I have enormous conviction and can make my decisions very quickly. And I struggle with people that don't have that clarity and anybody who doesn't agree, you know, I don't have clarity on other people's decisions either.
Right.
I think it's divide and conquer. Like what's been the biggest friction point for you two? Like what's been the biggest fight that you've had or about what?
It's mainly when we just have 2 different opinions on something. But we've definitely learned from before a lot of different ways to
work together
and stuff. I mean, obviously we still go through our struggles and whatever.
Of course.
For the most part, everything's been way better than before. And
do you guys have a good sense of where you are? If I said to both of you, between money and like the credit, where do you guys sit? Like if Oliver, especially, if I asked you, there's 100% for you, money. Yeah. Credit, where are you percentage wise?
Credit, money.
No, I would say more credit, but
real quick on that. It's not as simple as that. So for example, when you say credit, money, you might be 70-30 and he might be 30-70. And in that is the actual unlock to your happiness. Because you're not 100-0 and he's not a 0-100.
Yeah.
But right. Once you understand that, it really helps. But I'm telling you, by a country mile, the number one piece of advice I have is don't be in a position where you have to make joint decisions. Divide and conquer as much as you can. And where you have to make joint decisions, see if you can do both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds cool. I like that.
You see what I mean? Because it's the more separated you are, the more together you'll be.
Right.
Like if you're like, hey, we want to make this piece of content, just make both of your fucking pieces of content. Yeah. Like literally, even if they're similar.
I got you. I got you.
Good. Good luck, guys.
Thank you so much.
See you later. That's a good one.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
What's good, Richard? Good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm back again. Thank you for doing this. Super happy to be here. So I'm going to go straight to the point. I wanted to hear your take on quantity versus quality of content for consistency purposes. So my question is a lot of average content better than great content?
Yes.
With a lower consistency?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Here's why. Who gets to decide that it's average, Richard?
Right. True.
Answer the question.
I mean, it's just me. It's only me who controls like the content.
That's it. That's where you have it mixed up. That's why I'm so excited. That's why I wanted you to answer it.
Okay.
You don't get to decide. The audience gets to decide.
Okay.
And you're going to say no for the audience too often.
Okay.
Creators, artists say no for the audience without the audience having a look.
That's true.
The end.
True.
That's why this is such an easy question for me.
Cool.
It's an easy question. It's just insecurity about the content. You know, people use perfection as a disguise to not put out. It's actually being a cliche artist and worrying about what people think and having some sort of ideology in your own head or just judging your own self. That's why I want to push everybody to put things out because they will learn from what the audience likes instead of playing the game of life in their own head.
Okay, true. Yeah, because I always try to do the, you know, as you advocate us to do 2-3 posts daily. So I try to own to that flow, but I find it difficult sometimes because I want to do above average packaging.
But you're making that up in your own mind.
Okay.
Like that's my concern. My concern is that you've got, I don't know if you even know yet. If you haven't put out 100 things, you don't even really know. You know, your below average might be above average.
Mm-hmm.
You just might be that talented. Or you may put out something that's below average, but you read the comments and you get an insight, which makes your next piece of content way better.
Yeah.
Most people do not respect the audience.
Okay.
It's a very interesting insight. Like I would argue that what really works for me is I overly respect the audience. All I'm doing is like looking at the comments right now while I'm on with you from Antar Goodwin and Kareem El Rashidi and Sam Reed and Mark Martinez. I'm watching even when I'm creating.
Okay.
They're always right. We're never right.
Okay. And
we might have been right and then it plays out, but we don't know if we're right or wrong until it goes out.
True.
And no content ruins you. People are like, oh, if I put this out, people are gonna think I'm whack. And then I have no shot. It just doesn't work that way. You know how much whack fucking songs the Beatles put out? More than people realize.
True. And
right? You like that, right?
Yeah, it's true.
You like that.
It's a
liberator.
Yeah. You know? It makes me realize that I can do, yeah. So I don't have to like dwell on little things and just go ahead and post it.
You also don't know. You need to post it to see if you're right. Like I put out shit sometimes, I'm like, this is gonna suck. And it sucks. I'm like, yeah, I know my shit. Like when I write up wine text, you know, and I write it, sometimes I'm like, ooh, this is fire. It's gonna sell out in a minute. And sometimes I'm like, eh. And then, you know, and then when it doesn't do well, I'm like, ooh, I'm on my shit. I was right. It was eh. Sometimes I'm like, eh, shit flies out in an hour, all sold out. And I'm like, okay, that taught me that. You know, you gotta learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I have one quick question.
Go.
You always say also to be giving, to do jabs. And I wanted to see with you, does it make sense to like provide, like I'm a producer, DJ, sound engineer. Does it make sense to provide my creations to people who I still got emails, maybe, even if we don't necessarily still talk, it could be people who worked with like maybe the Rihannas or other street dancers and stuff like that, but just to reach them and be like, hey, I got this. I was thinking about you. I think this makes sense. Or
yes, yes, but you know that they're doing more for you than you're doing for them.
Okay. Okay.
When you're Rihanna, if they're putting in your fucking, you know, if they're taking your productions, that's huge for you. What would be better, in my opinion, is to go to SoundCloud or Instagram or TikTok and find people that are merging that really need it. Then you're really giving. Because okay. When you're giving to Rihanna or Beyonce, you're not giving, they're putting you on.
Okay. 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 I get that.
You got
yeah.
it. All right, bro.
Thank Take you. Care. Peace. You
got it. Peace. People often want to give to people that when they receive it, it actually is more valuable to you. And people want to give me things all the time, you know, but the reality, Gary Vee, I made this song for you, for your Tea with Gary Vee. But like, you know, the reality is we've had two theme songs on Tea with Gary Vee. The second one, that's been good, but a lot of people made those things. And a lot of times they're making it for their benefit. So, you know, and that's great. And sometimes the person will say yes, but please recognize you're not giving, you're asking. In that scenario, exposure at that level is worth way more than the production value of that thing. Just always, especially in a world where there's unlimited people offering that production. So let's keep it going.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gary.
How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. How are you?
So good. Super grateful to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Billy. What's cooking?
So we're here in Westfield. We're not too far from you.
Mm. Super close.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love that.
Super grateful. And so Peewee's been listening to you for a while. I jumped on, started listening to you back in December, and got to say that, you know, what you say works. So I started
everything.
We have our podcast, the Jason and Peewee Project. We've had some great guests come on by just DMing them through Instagram, and all of a sudden they're replying. Just shocking. People are like, how'd you get them on? I was like, oh, Gary Vee said DM them. So like, I'll try that. I'm like, oh yeah, people come on. So our goal this year was we were working to get really more live speaking going. That's going to now get sidelined for a long time.
Yeah,
we did hear you say, well, start a live show to somebody about a week ago. So we started a live show every day at noon. And so second cup of coffee with Jason and Peewee live. And that's been going well. Across our platforms, we're getting good like private feedback from people. Like people are like reaching out on the sideline, but we're not finding a way to get like active engagement on the platforms. And our strategy.
So you're getting private messages at a high level, but you're not getting as many comments and likes and shares on the actual content?
Correct.
Yes.
What do you want the most of? Let's go very technical here to bring people value. When you say engagement, in order, on which platform? And then before we go into that, what's the content that you're talking about?
So our podcast is about providing fulfillment, really just pushing to prove that we can improve mental fortitude, grow wealth, and improve health.
It has a foundation in real estate. We are large multifamily providers.
Understood. So are you getting a lot of private things that are just because people are getting into a mindset thing and they're being honest with you on DM that they may feel uncomfortable in the comment section or asking you more direct questions financially of how to become a multifamily kind of executor? Like you're just finding more in that realm?
I get a lot on the fitness side. I do a lot of crazy challenges on the fitness side. So I'm running like 465 miles this month. And so we get a lot of people reach out from that. And like they're really engaged in that. Sorry?
Privately or publicly?
Privately, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I get way more private messages than I get in with my engagement. And I get a shitload of engagement. It just means I get a fuckload of, you know, private messages. But, you know, let's break this down. If I went very literal, because I don't do this often, so I think this will help a lot of people. And you guys have clearly shown to me that you've listened to tactics, which have brought you benefits. So I really want to go tactical. When you say engagement, which platform and what action?
Sure. So Facebook and YouTube would be the prime two that we try and build out further.
Okay. And are you looking for? Are you saying when you say engagement, are you looking for comments and likes or? If you're talking about these two platforms, are you talking about more subscribers?
So YouTube would be subscribers. Facebook would be engagement to make sure that we're providing content that's benefiting the listeners. Because right now we're getting the private feedback we are, but we're not getting on the platform. So we're not sure if our content is giving the
sure
value.
You're getting the feedback.
Yeah, just not.
Jason, you said to me, you're looking for the feedback to make sure that you're providing the right value. but you are getting the feedback. Hmm. What you're actually saying, which is very fine, no problem at all. Hey, we'd like to get more of it publicly because that in itself helps us more. More people see it. It builds more momentum. So you're not looking to help them. You're looking to help yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I, this is why I want to break it down, right?
Yeah.
You're getting, I mean, no worries. For me, I'm able to really create more content 7 out of 10 times because of the private messages more than the comments. Because people will go a level deeper private. And I'm like, ooh, there's something there. Ooh, shit. Rich kids are sad. I need to talk about entitlement. You know, like that, that's me. Nobody's leaving a comment like, Gary, that's me. I'm a rich kid. I'm a piece of shit. I take all my money from my parents, but I make pretend I earn it. I suck. Like people don't do that there. They do it in DM, right? And so I think that what you're talking about a little bit more is things that benefit you, which is fine. More comments, more shares, more likes. You should. I genuinely believe it's very hard to be selfless unless you have a level of selfishness. You should have your own ambitious wants and needs. So it's not that you want more feedback to make sure you're doing the right thing because you're getting that. It's that you're trying to grow, which is super fine. Believe it or not, the answer is really wild. It's called asking.
Hmm.
So one of the things that really works is literally asking. Like, for example, even though I can bring it up 100 times, none of these fuckers are signing up for Wine Text. But when... thank you. By the way, today, but I don't know if you drink Pinot Noir, but today is a crazy one. So get ready. It's going to go, it's gonna go 30, fast.
30 days, no drinking. We got three little got background being quiet.
I love it. This, I love it.
Chandeliers, one of the two.
But I think you need to ask. I think at the, I think you should make a nice little piece of content at the end of all your content. It basically says, hey, it would mean a lot. Like you should film something and be like, hey, we're really hustling out here. It would mean a lot to us if you left a comment and shared this and liked it and subscribed. Like the ask, the right hook of the jab. Like most people are just not asking.
Yeah.
It's literally just asking, both in video, audio, written, and visual form. I'm being dead serious.
A good amount of content. And so maybe we're missing that, just really the end cap to
it. You know what I did with Wine Library TV that completely exploded it back in the day when I wanted that? I created something called the question of the day. So like every episode of Wine Library TV, 1,000 of them, you know, maybe 950 of them after I invented it, was like, all right, time for the question of the day. Which Pinot Noir did you drink in your, you know, and then it got people into practice.
Yeah.
So, you know, question of the day, or, you know, I do it still now, like tag one person that you think will get value out of this.
Yeah.
It's called the ask.
Okay.
Got it.
You know, you're providing value for your audience. You're more than in a position to ask. Not demand, not say, if you don't leave a comment, you get kicked out. It's a very simple ask.
We got kiddos running.
I love it.
The world, so super appreciate you. So I don't have any crazy gifts for you. We appreciate your content, but I do ask 10 minutes on our podcast somewhere in the future.
Yes. Somewhere in the future. I'm in for that. Awesome. Only because this little cutie.
This all is right, a young guys. One.
This, yeah. is how, take care. This is how I get people on.
Thank you.
I get it. I'm sure.
Thank
sucker
you.
With babies. I respect it. You're welcome. See you later.
See you, Gary.
Bye, Jason. Big Pinot Noir today on Wine Text. Very simply, simple ask based on that. Let's go meta. If you buy wine, if you buy 3 bottles of wine a month in any shape or form, Publix, Trader Joe's, Costco, wine.com, like if you buy 3 bottles of wine a month, please, 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 please stop right now. Go to winetext.com, sign up. It takes 2 minutes. Take a photo, put it on Twitter. Let me retweet you that you did it. It would mean a lot to me. Let's keep it going.
Hey, Gary. This is exciting.
Wow, this is huge. The NCAA board announced it supports a rule change that would allow student athletes
to receive
compensation for third-party endorsements, both related and separate from athletics, starting in 2020. It also supports compensation for other opportunities in social media. Wow. Vayner Sports just changed.
Gary, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure because you
were... That was so funny.
Oh, I can hear you. No. Breaking news out of the NCAA.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
About compensating kids that play collegiate sports, which I think will really change Vayner Sports. Okay, let's rock and roll.
Hi, Gary. I've always wanted to meet you. I'm probably everywhere I'm in my life right now is because of you. So I tried eBay flipping.
Not true. Good news. It's because of you. You took action, but I appreciate. I'll take the assist. I'll John Stockton.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I tried eBay flipping like 3 times. Failed every time. I tried crypto investing and Amazon FBA. And now I have a freelance business, and I just got to quit my job at Walmart 3 months ago.
Good for you.
So my question is, when should I like hire my first employee? Because I want to grow beyond just a one-man band.
Can you afford it?
Okay.
Can you afford it now?
I don't know.
Let's define affording.
Oh, okay.
As long as you don't spend money, do you have enough money to get an employee?
Not like full time,
so but at least
a little bit. Yeah.
Then you should do it.
Okay.
The sooner you learn what it feels like to employ someone, the better. So even if that's somebody for 10 hours a week, that's learnings for you. That's why it's awesome. If you pay the minimum wage or something small, you're like set. Mm-hmm. Jerry, you know where people get really caught? They don't pay for, they're willing to pay for college and to learn. But then in real life, they're not willing to pay to actually learn. You paying somebody is going to teach you how to be a boss of somebody, and is a much better deal than a college diploma that talks about being the boss of somebody.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you say that.
Please.
Because I did martial arts for 12 years.
Okay.
And I took minimum wage from the guy. And so I was actually ended up like losing money because I did pay for teaching certificates. And I did run like the demo team for a while and teaching and like planning curriculum and running instructors. So I kind of understand like that one thing you said, what was it like 3 9s is not as good as like 60 6s or something.
Yes.
You remember that? I kind of feel smart because I learned that before you put that out.
Brother, so. You're plenty of smart. Don't worry. I don't get to make the rules, but I get to share my thoughts and things I've learned. Like, you know, don't put my advice on a pedestal, but know this. You hiring somebody even for 10 hours a week is a monster win.
Okay.
Because if I'm just going to use 10 bucks an hour, that 100 bucks a week is teaching. You're getting paid to learn.
To learn.
And then if she or he is bringing you value, I mean, it's a fucking huge win. People are very confused out here, brother. People are willing to pay to learn through courses and degrees and schools. Mm-hmm. And then they don't learn by paying to do things in their actual business. I basically think everything I'm doing is learning. And if I get the output that I paid for, then that's like the bonus.
Okay.
I want the context. I want the reps.
Oh, okay. That makes sense to me.
Now, all of a sudden, you can see why you would hire somebody earlier, because now it's a different value proposition than am I going to get my return on my money? It doesn't even matter if you do. Now you're learning something which is going to help you long term because you're so young.
Yeah. I'm only 21. I'm like a baby.
You are a super baby.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep thinking that way. Keep thinking like your martial arts thing. Keep remembering this moment when we talked. Investing in something that brings you learnings is always a good idea.
Better.
Always better, especially better than learning it on paper or from somebody else. You learning it, you know, hearing about it 10 times is way less valuable than doing it once.
Okay. Yeah, because I've kind of been frustrated lately because I took on like way too much work.
Yeah, man, it's time to fucking delegate.
It's, you know, like the 12 hours a day is just too much for me, right?
I respect, by the way, I love you for saying that. For me, it's not because I got adrenaline in a different way. And for you, if it's 7 hours is too much, bro, there's no level of money. There's no level of success that is more important than happiness and balance.
Okay.
I love you for that.
Thank you.
This is why, notice how I said, hey, when I was listening to you, I was like, don't take all my stuff literal. Take my macro literal. You need to be happy. So if 6 hours is good for you, well, great. Mm. Then that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Because then I did see that because I saw like my work when I was doing, you're right about 6, by the way, like lucky guess. Because my work, when I was working only 6 a day, it was getting done faster. And so when I was working 12, I got the same output as 6.
Yeah, you're tired. You're not in your back. I want to make sure you also, one thing to look into is how much do you love what you're doing versus you think it's making you money. Because one thing I notice is 12 is easier when you fucking are addicted to it.
I agree. Yeah. It's definitely not because I video edit. That's my thing, right?
Yep.
It's not a 12 hour a day thing, but it's not a zero either.
I love that. It's brother. I love that. Now you got, I love it. You're in such a great spot at 21 to have that knowledge, to have this framework, keep tasting, do different shit. I like where you're going, bro.
Okay. I see some people want to get hired.
Yeah, I'm like, sure. Why don't we chat. Put up your, what? Yeah. Why don't we put your, why don't we put your social handle up here? People, everyone DM Jared if you want to get hired. What are you hiring for?
I need a video editor for, right now it's just Instagram captions helping me spell check because I suck at writing.
There's some good software too. Let Dustin put you in touch with some of our team. We're using some software too, and then you can have somebody.
Is it Rev?
Post at it. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
It
okay. Is. Yeah, that's what I use. And
it's good. Awesome. And you need somebody on the post. It. Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then it's, I use Adobe.
Dustin, put up his actual handle.
Wow. Thank What's you. This means a lot to me.
Do you have an Instagram?
The only really
so
requirement.
Do you have an Instagram so people can DM you?
I do, but I don't use it because I don't.
What about an email?
An email.
Okay, what's your email?
It's pacificbusinessyt@gmail.com. Do you want me to write it in the chat for Dustin?
No, I think Dennis is pretty smart.
Okay.
Pacific
Business
YT for YouTube @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
pacificbusinessyt@gmail.com.
Wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to be busy reading emails today. That's okay, though.
I think you are. I think you are. So what are you looking to hire real quick? Let's bang it out and I got
to
move on.
It's either someone to help with captions or someone to help cut down gameplay live streams. One of those got two.
It. Awesome. I'm sure you're going to find
Thanks, Gary.
Take care,
means
brother.
Means a lot.
Happy to do it, brother. Keep pushing.
Thanks.
Nice kid. All right. Let's keep it going.
Hi.
Hi, Natasha.
Thank you so much for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
I am the child of an immigrant as well. And so I instantly connected with you and your story, and the way you deliver messages just is exactly how my dad delivers messages. And so the way you deliver everything is perfect. So I'll get into this. I'll give you some context. I am a creative, and I started out just doing craft fairs, and it honestly was supposed to just kind of be like up for fun, on the side, hobby, extra income type thing. And then I ended up loving it. And I then hopped on Etsy back in December. Didn't really get any traction off Etsy. Then I started a TikTok, thanks to you. I started a TikTok and had a video go viral. I'm from Kansas City, and so I painted a custom Chiefs jacket. And that video on TikTok went viral. It had viral for me. I'm, you know, by not a long shot, I'm not, you know, Charlie or whoever, but I think it got like 40,000-50,000 views. And I was like, whoa. And then Etsy started like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And I was like, holy cow, what the heck just happened? And so
what happened is you started executing the things I talk about every day.
100%. Yeah, I executed what you said, and it did really well. And I ended up hopping off Etsy because they take obviously a portion of your fees. And I felt like if I'm driving my own sales through what you're teaching me to do, why should I give them a portion of my money? So I ended up creating my own website. Things were a little slow at first. And then I had another video go viral, I think it's 1.4 million views, which was insane. Again, my website, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And then the following week, Shonda Rhimes ended up sharing one of my art pieces on her Instagram feed. And so then it was like, again, cha-ching. I'm like, I tagged her just like you had instructed people to do. I tagged her. It was a Grey's Anatomy theme post. Tagged her. She reposted it. And it was insane. So off of that, this is obviously very new to me. I have had several like influencers, lifestyle bloggers message me wanting to get like some free product, a free jacket, free stickers, free art, all the stuff that I make. Is there a secret
free sauce? Stickers? Free stickers excites me.
What was that?
Free stickers excites me. That's low cost for you for good
very
exposure.
Low cost, yeah.
Yeah. Free stickers, yes. Free fucking jackets. Only if they promise to post it and they're real big.
Okay.
There's no secret math. There's no formula. You have to go on intuition. You should audit them, see how engaged their audience really is. you know, maybe FaceTime them for 2 minutes. Maybe you can get a real connection. Free stickers all day.
Okay.
It's just cheap. They put on their laptop or they share it. Like, even if they don't share it, it's let them have it around their life. There are people that have influence, you know, but it's just value exchange, you know,
yeah.
Like if you decide somebody's worth a free jacket and that's right for you, then do that too. Okay. Influencer marketing will work for you. It's not a requirement, but if you have something as low cost as free stickers, I'm really into that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Stickers. And then my art prints. Those are,
you know what you need to do though, when you send something to somebody and nothing good happens, you can't dwell. You have to look at it at the macro.
Okay.
It's kind of like the TikTok viral posts. You know, if you gave up after the first 9 that only got 12, you know, views and said, Gary's an idiot, you would have never gotten to the time when the video went viral. Same with influencers. If you give up after, like, you're like, fucking Sarah, what a, fuck her. You know, she didn't, you know, like if you do that, you're finished. You need to be like, Sarah sucked, Rick sucked, Johnny sucked, Jenna sucked, Stevie sucked, Ricky stuck. Oh my God, Amanda changed my life.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, because I did.
People get emotional. Natasha, people get emotional. People get emotional. They're like, oh, fucking Sally ripped me off. All her followers are fake, I bet. You know, like, like she, even if they posted and nothing good happened, you're like, fuck. People get emotional. There's no fucking crying or emotion business.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did. I had like 12 videos that got literally 8 views. So if I had stopped, I wouldn't have had any success.
That's right.
Okay. Another quick question. So I had an idea to do Instagram lives with my followers one-on-one, basically like this, but teaching them digital art on their iPads. And I have a business mentor and they kind of kiboshed it. They're like, no, you need to charge. You need to charge for that, like doing maybe like a 20 to 30 minute session.
Your business mentor is a salesperson.
Okay.
I am a marketer and brander.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree. And I know you know that I don't agree.
Yeah. Oh, I knew instantly. I was like, Gary's not going to agree. And I don't necessarily agree, but
my good news, I guess, we won 2-1.
Yeah. true. The question though, is there ever a time or
of course.
Yes. That I can charge for that or yes. Something
when you desperately need to.
Okay.
You know what the goal is though?
What's that?
To never desperately need to.
Yeah. I don't desperately need to. I wanted to do it to create community.
Oh, by the way, you know what's going to happen? You're going to build a fucking community that's going to buy your other shit.
Okay.
Your business mentor is transactional.
Okay.
Your business mentor is 101.
Okay.
If your business mentor is getting paid, you may want to reconsider it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I had a feeling. I mean, I listen to your podcast 24/7 and I implement and I've turned so many other people onto it too. And so
you've implemented it and good thing you've implemented my free advice and a lot of good things have happened.
Yeah.
You're paying for that advice. I'd like to see what the ROI of that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. Very true. I think you're 100% right. And I knew instantly.
I think you need to write a nice email that says we no longer work together.
Okay.
That's my intuition. I could be wrong. Maybe she or he's bringing a lot of value, but if I heard everything you just said, which is you're selling things from exposure, I would never charge transactional $29 for
Okay. All right. Right on.
Talk to you.
Thank you so much, Gary.
See ya. Business mentors, my fucking dick. Let's keep it going. Fucking business mentors. Devin, what's good?
Hey, Gary. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Gotcha. Really good.
Hey, so before I get to my question, just wanted to give you a quick background on where I'm coming from. So about 4 years ago, I quit my full-time job to start my own business. And I built that business up for the last 3.5 years and ended up selling it about 6 months ago. When I started the business, I was just all about speed. What works, what doesn't. So we did a lot of like A-B testing. We tried direct marketing, direct sales, and I have a sales background. We tried a variety of different things. And
what
one
were you
of
selling?
Those was, it was a virtual reality events business. So we did B2B events, like conferences, things of that nature. One of those things that we did like A/B testing for was just generally social media. Hindsight, that's probably something stupid to cut, but basically we saw so much success in other areas that we just decided social media is not for us.
Because social media by nature is branding and marketing and sales. And most people are looking for sales at first. It's a complete ROI math arbitrage. It's the last call. You know, the reason I'm different than most people is I actually know how to build Nike, not how to sell 30,000 pairs of sneakers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I've been listening to you for 3 or 4 years. Honestly, I started listening right when I started that job. Keep listening to you because I know social media's got some value, obviously, especially in the long term. But what I really like listening to you about is your passion, your authenticity, everything about like knowing who you are. So that's a lot of what I've been absorbing. So I sold my business about 6 months ago because I had more or less like not a change in passion. I was never passionate about that business, but I just wanted to start doing something.
It was just time.
Yeah, I wanted to start doing something I was passionate about.
Good for you.
So I sold that and now I started a new business, which we just launched a few weeks ago. It's Sun Protective Apparel. So I had a few changes in my life last year where I got married. So that was a big life change. But then I was also diagnosed with melanoma skin cancer, which fortunately was removed. But I'm athletic. I did college track and field. I'm a CrossFit coach, big into the fitness community. I'm always outdoors working out. And there was no shirts that could actually protect me from UV. So like that was like the market need I found. So I'm launching my own product, which
there's
fits
no,
that need.
There's no better business on earth than when someone scratches their own itch.
Yeah, so
that's my favorite, literally my favorite way a business starts. Literally my favorite, number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big reason I started it because of listening to your content and hearing that over and over and over. It's like, what is my need? What exists in the marketplace or what doesn't exist in the marketplace that I can fill that need? So yeah, I jumped in, started it. So I have a fresh slate. Again, didn't do any social media last business. Personally, I do little to no like social media. I don't have like a personal brand. It's really just a way for like, I use social media strategically to reach out to decision makers on Instagram, use that messaging sphere, use Twitter, like, but I don't have any personal preference.
Yeah, and one thing I'm worried about, if you're using that, are you using it from your personal account or your brand's account?
So in the past, I've used it from my brand's account.
You know, one of the things that you need to keep in mind is how good that brand or the person shows up is a big factor in the conversion of that outreach.
Yep.
You know, like a highly attractive person, boy or girl, is more likely to get the person they're courting when they're out that they think is cute than one that's not. Same with social. If your shit is good on social when you reach out, good things happen at a higher percentage. Yep. So one thing to think, because you've got you're a salesman, which I love. I am too. I get it. So you've got that part down. What's super important, and you can be very effective with this, like when you start reaching out to influencers or other people, if your brand's showing up proper when they look at who DM them, they're more likely to do something with you at a better cost, whether that's free or a discount. If you look like shit, or if you're not playing the game right, they're gonna charge you twice. You can see how the economics amortize out very quickly on just, I'm sure because you're a sales brain, you already can see why I just gave you a very good reason that your Instagram and Pinterest and TikTok need to look proper just on the ARB, on the transactional influencer marketing play.
Yeah, so that's actually ultimately the question I had for you. So basically I have two blank slates. I have my business, I have my personal. I want to deliver all the content. So is it more effective to do 4 hours every single day of my business or like two and two? If I only have, let's say I only have 4 hours.
Why do you only have four hours? Help me with that part. We'll get to the other part.
It could change day by day, but yeah, I'm starting a new apparel business. I mean, just the process of getting operations set up. Sales.
I see. You're talking about 4 hours of marketing, not 4 hours a day.
4 hours available to dedicate to marketing.
That's amazing. You went from putting me in a bad mood to in a great mood. You know what I would do? Not overthink it. you know, go with the flow. Being a personal brand is tricky. It might not be in your DNA. You might be self-conscious. You're like, what do I fucking say? You know, please look into the, you know, the content pyramid I put out and watch the video of like the document Don't Create. Like, get that into your brain. Here's the answer. 1 day, 30 minutes personal brand, 3.5 hours brand. 1 day, you know, 5 days in a row, 4 hours personal brand. Then for 2.5, people think there's a blueprint. There isn't. It's a net game. I'm not, you know, I want you to taste both at enough scale that one or two emerge. But look, a cancer survivor is inspirational, period. That is an emotionally, like, you know, like, fuck, man, you know, and you can help a lot of people. Fuck selling shit. Like, you're gonna help some kids.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I started this.
Right? You're gonna help a 16-year-old.
It's, you know, bigger like than that's me.
It is bigger than you. So like, you've got to do the personal brand, but the apparel brand will be able to scale you when you hire two people. So the answer is both. Both. And don't overjudge yourself on the strategy up front. There is no right answer. It's just gonna, just let it flow. Whatever you're fucking feeling, let it flow. And when you don't feel it, just like you didn't feel the fucking VR business anymore, switch it. So you get a little burnt out of doing personal shit. And you go hard, boom, 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 boom. You know, that's why I love having a ton of shit. Sometimes I'm flowing on Empathy Wines. Sometimes I'm flowing on Wine Text. Sometimes I'm flowing Vayner. And then Vayner X has like fucking launched Vayner Commerce this week. Like, you know, I can't stop launching businesses because I need flow. I need flow.
Yeah. Congrats on Vayner Commerce, by the way. I was reading up about that yesterday. It's awesome.
Thank you. All right, bro. Wish you well.
All right. Appreciate you.
Take care, Dad.
Thanks.
Flow. Flow. It's really cool. Really cool business. I like where he's going. I'm really rooting for him. And his Saints signed Juwan Johnson, one of our Vayner Sports most exciting rookies this year. So, Dustin, UK over there? A little slow on the trigger.
Well, I always like to wait till you finish your sentence.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm ready.
Hi.
Hi, Marianne.
I met you in 2009, and I apologize because it took me way too long to listen to you.
Well, listen, I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. So I've been going through jab, right hook. I'm a southpaw, so I guess for me it's really my left hook. And I understand on page 13, you talk about that magic blueprint that everybody wants to know when it's time for the right hook. And I understand that that doesn't exist. So my question is, what are the indicators that you look for of knowing when it's time to throw that hook?
It's less about the indicators from the audience. It's more about the indicators in my real life. Like when Empathy Wines was done being made and it was time to sell, it was time to throw the right hook and announce it. You know, when Wine Text was invented, then went 3 months and I felt it was perfected, then it was the time to right hook. So it's less about you feel like your audience is there. It's more about the necessity to throw the right hook. Mm-hmm. There's never a bad time to throw a right hook. I have a preference that the longer you can build trust that your hook will land more likely, because most people, and you know this, are throwing right hooks from day one. But I would say that the indicator to when is more predicated on the business, whether it's a financial need. I mean, there's some people that need to throw right hooks right now that didn't want to, but their business is struggling in a COVID world. And so I think that, I think the right hook is predicated more on your business truth, your need for dollars. The longer you don't need dollars, just like that young woman a couple of questions ago, if you don't have to monetize your audience, don't. Mm. You know, if I lost all my businesses, you know, maybe Tea with Gary B would just be a subscription business because I'd need to feed my family.
Mm. Wow.
I prefer not to throw the right hook. Mm-hmm. And when I throw right hooks, I try to make them not direct to what I do for a living. I like that my right hooks are like sneakers and wine more than paywalls behind content, because I've established that as a free part of my life.
Mm-hmm. So I have a brick and mortar and I'm working on pivoting to your model of content, free content to paid access.
Yes, I love that.
So in
do me a favor, Marianne, when you go to that, make sure when you're in your free world, that you're really doing free. The biggest vulnerability to my concept to put out a ton of free content and then have a paid product is that the free content is horseshit. It's actually just manipulation to the paid product. I see it every day. 90% of the people that try to execute that model suck at it because they're not giving their all in the free. Mm-hmm. The free is really just advertising, manipulation, mm-hmm. you know, just flirting, just to the last part, and then you got to pay. What I think it really requires, it's kind of how I think about nonprofit. I don't start businesses that have like a, if you buy empathy, we donate $5 to, you know, I don't like mixing. I like doing my thing and then quietly behind the scenes doing the right thing in my give back. That's how, I like that separation. I'm similar to the young men that started this show, divide and conquer. You know, when people blend stuff, they tend to get caught. So, you know, if you're a strategy goddess, which I love, you know, do me a favor, really go, really give everybody your best. Know this, the information's a commodity. There's nothing I don't say publicly that I say to my clients. It's the nuances of the details and the execution. Mm-hmm. Most people that want to sell content think that they have to hold something back that they don't hear in the free part. It's not true. You're selling the access, the one-on-one, where I can ask an extra question when you can ask mm-hmm. an extra question. That's why this has been so powerful in comparison to my Q&A shows. I've had time to go deeper. I was on mm-hmm. with 31 minutes, with 28 minutes yesterday with that guy. You know, like, mm-hmm. so it's the depth. What that should liberate you to give better information for free because you know you're selling access and nuances, not information.
Okay. And it's,
understand?
It's the, yeah, the access is where it gets what I would call into a real custom kind
correct.
Of
program. Yeah. And you could do custom in a lot of ways. You could have a scaled like 50 person group that all pay one thing. You could have it tiered even in the paid part. You can have the 50, you know, the up to 100 people paying $100 a month. And then you can have the $1,000 thing because it's one-on-one for hours.
Hmm.
More access, more valuable.
Okay. Right. Any other advice about having like a really big vision? Because I know you have your vision about buying the Jets. Mine's pretty big.
Go ahead. What is it?
I want to end violence against women and children.
So I think, you know, I think when you have such an altruistic, you know, it's funny, I have a secret bigger mission than the Jets thing, which is I want to reframe alpha male success to be around kindness and empathy. I think, A, you have to realize you have no shot of accomplishing it before your death when it's that mm-hmm. big. Mm-hmm. So when you're boiling the ocean, you need to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. And you need to know that you're just one tiny block in the building towards it, and you try to be the best possible block you can be. I think when people have big goals, they get crippled by it, and then they really just get into this mucky place. So I think you just need to be practical about how big of a goal that is, and you need to push hard every day. Every day I push hard through my private and public actions to put kindness and empathy and compassion and sympathy and warmth on a pedestal, and that's all you can do.
That was one of my favorite moments. I think it was 2 weeks ago of you and your dad, where he just grabbed your face and planted this kiss on you. And I was just in tears. It was so beautiful to see that.
Nice is good. Like, we need so much more light. Negativity, unfortunately, is much louder than positivity. Mm-hmm. And so that's why people are so stressed and caught up in what social media does, because social media is just an exposer, an indicator, a mirror to who we actually are. It doesn't change us. It's exposing us. So, you know, If you have good in your soul, it's I feel like it's a huge requirement to share it and talk about it.
Hmm. Thank you. So, and thank you for demonstrating that kind of emotional range. We need more men like you out there demonstrating that. So thank you for being
I'm on it. You're welcome. Take care, Marianne. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's keep this going. Curtis.
Hey, Yuri. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good, really good. This is super exciting. Holy shit. So I'll just give you a little bit of context, and then I'll ask, I have like two questions. One's a little bit more heady, one's a little bit more tactical. So just to bring some value and then kind of explain all this, like, I moved out. I don't rely on my parents as much anymore. I traded my car and I don't drive like a fancy car anymore. I live
Why
in like
did
a
that
humble
happen?
Apartment. My dad bought the car, and like, you know, he kind of values that stuff. And like, I understand he comes from
but
that
why,
generation.
Why did you decide that?
I was trying to cut costs. I'm trying to like live, you know how you're like live humble?
I doing do. That. Why was it, did somebody tell you my content, something out?
Like a big insecurity I've always had was relying on my parents. Right. And so when he bought the car, it's like, fuck, like it's not, I didn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I didn't, you know,
so you were always there mentally. You always had a discomfort with that relationship.
100%. 100%.
Keep going.
Yeah. And you know, I work that like shitty job that like, that you talk about where I get to have all this time to do the stuff that I want to do, but I get the job done. And you know, I live in this humble apartment, and the biggest thing is like I stopped valuing perfection too when I start putting content out, right? So if you look at some of the stuff on my Instagram, like I'm literally in my girlfriend's.
What is your Instagram?
Kurt_DC. And so like, you know, I do like kickboxing videos and like I'm literally in my girlfriend's room and there's like stuff on the floor. Like I don't give a shit.
Love
like, I understand.
Love it. Yeah, bro, so far you're firing me up. Like everything coming out of your mouth, I'm fucking loving.
No, man, I've been following you for so long. And so, you know, my first question's a little heady and the second question's a little bit tactical.
I got it. That part.
The first one is like, you know, I've been putting content out for a while now and I believe that it is in my best vested interest to have everybody know who I am, right? Like you say. And so I'm trying to capitalize on that opportunity. And the second reason is like I just really want people to have that winning mentality because there's so many people around me that have, you know, they're in like shitty situations. And it's like the analogy is like a sports analogy is if you're like down all these points, you know, your I don't know, your goalie's injured, all these excuses, right? Like I understand it's like you could fold. I understand it's totally understandable you could fold. But I just don't want that for them, right? Like I want them to win. I want them to have that,
me neither,
you know, that winning mentality that you have. And so, but I'm like, I've lived a pretty privileged life myself and I'm only like 27, right? So I don't feel 100% comfortable like putting that out. Like when I talk to them, it goes over well, but putting the content out.
But I think you should put out the content because you come from an incredible place. You know, you are coming from a privileged place and you're speaking at it. You're going to be able to hit people that I'm not able to hit because they can't associate. You're gonna have more credibility with somebody who was wildly entitled and privileged, and then you made the move. I talk about making the move because I've seen it bring so much happiness to people in that situation. You've actually done it. You have more legs to stand on talking about it at some level than I do, or at least from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, you know, like for example, there's one guy I was talking to, I'm glad he's like actually pretty responsive to it, but like, you know, he's like divorced and he's like got all this financial pressure and stuff, and I'm like, dude, why don't you just like sell your house and fucking do that stuff? And he responded really well, but I just feel like if I put content out saying that, like, who am, I've never bought a house, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's,
don't tell people, like, but bro, I never was a spoiled kid. Just because you weren't it, you know, some of the best Bill Belichick was not a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you, I think you can speak to it from your perspective about it.
Okay.
I speak on two core things. Things I've lived, which is where I really spend my pocket, but then things that have become very obvious to me as a human observer. I'm good at that. You know, I understand that. I feel comfortable with what I'm talking about. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of interactions with human beings that make me very confident. I think you're very confident in knowing that that person would be much happier if he minimalized and was able to breathe.
And so you think it's okay to like put content out talking about
as
that?
As long as you're not full of shit.
Well, like, I don't think, you know, I believe it, right? Like,
I don't think you are. I don't think you're going to make pretend that you, mm-hmm. you know, like you're going to talk and you're going to, yeah, I think it's, I think you're trying to help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you have a very unique perspective. Not only were you privileged, but I assume that also meant that you were around other privileged people and you've seen patterns. And yes, listen, you see it. You saw it. I was on with Jared a little while ago. I'm like, hey, don't put me on a pedestal. All you have that to do is deploy. Yeah, he was. All you have to do is just be humble about it. People, you know, I talk with such conviction and so Jersey and so much energy and so much confidence that people, you know, often don't like me at first or think I'm audacious or think I'm full of shit or think that I'm audacious. And I understand when you come with this kind of heat, it can come off that way. But if you really watch carefully, what makes me palpable is humility.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, just be humble about it.
Okay. And then the second question is like, you know, like I have all your books, right? And Crushing It and all that stuff. So I'm trying to think of like brainstorm ways to maybe make like a little bit more money. Like I said, I'm living super humbly. Right. But just to make like maybe 500 to like a grand more just doing this.
I want you to make $38 million a second. If you earned it yourself, like let's not demonize money. Let's just demonize like being entitled to it or being subsidized by somebody else because it leads to unhappiness, not because we're jealous of those people. So I think you should make as much money as humanly possible. Like, let's not demonize it. Like if you earn it, that's a great accomplishment.
For sure. But yeah, just like, so I have all these hobbies, right? Like I build model kits. I like do kickboxing. Like here's a Gundam. I don't know if that's cool or not, but
cool.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've been going off on like all my hobbies and stuff. And like, I was just thinking like, is there like, if I could brainstorm
Kurt, things. You know what? Listen, you're uncomfortably likable.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So I think you have a real shot. What I would do if I were you, based on what I just heard, if you're a fucking kickboxer dude, and you got this great hair, and you fucking make models and nerd it out, like, I think you need to put your whole fucking world out there.
See, hey, I'm trying, man.
Good. So you're putting out all this stuff you're doing. Are you putting in your content the model stuff too?
Yeah.
Good. So look, I think you keep doing that at volume. How hard are you going at TikTok?
Not that much. Like a little bit, a tiny bit.
Yeah, dude, I can even tell you got some muscles underneath there. Like, dude, do some kickboxing fucking shit with no shirt on and you'll fucking be growing up.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Bro, you need to post on TikTok 3 times a day.
Okay.
Like, if you want a prescription from the doctor, here you go. 3 times a day, TikTok. 3.
Okay. And then what do you think about, like, is a hobby shop still, like, viable today? Because I don't own the intellectual property, obviously, of the models, but...
Of course not, but you can make models and sell them. You can create your own model. Like, I don't think a hobby shop is where you need to go at this minimal level, because retail is not the place to go, especially if you don't
have
a boatload of money to throw at it. No, I think you should go on TikTok. You just watched a girl 3 fucking videos ago fucking make art on jackets and then make 1 TikTok and explode her business.
True.
I think you should make a Shopify store or make an Instagram. I mean, there's a retro vintage toy guy who just posts his toys on fucking Instagram and says $13 first person or plus.
Yeah, all those guys.
So you know what to do. I think, bro, I'm telling you, shirtless kickboxing and fucking and fucking, like, you know, kit making on TikTok will change your life. 3 a day. I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now. I own 0 equity in TikTok. I don't give a fuck about TikTok.
Well, I know.
If TikTok disappears tomorrow, you know me. You've been around. I don't give a fuck. I give a fuck about attention when it's underpriced. That 100%. Can lead to something that brings you happiness. You know me. I can tell you know me. And you aren't making 3 TikToks a day? Fuck that, bro. I love everything about you except that part.
No, 100%. I agree. I don't like that part. I got to do it.
Dustin, what do you want?
I'll just leave.
No, go ahead.
Bike videos are sick, by the way. I looked at his Instagram. Your fucking videos are sick, dude.
Yeah, Dustin,
why don't you put that shit out? That shit's fucking dope, man. Holy fuck.
No, but I just wanted to say, I didn't even know Kurt was going to be on today, and he never asked me, can I be on the show? But I noticed him following me the other day, and I just, like, something I saw on his page, I just liked his page, and I was like, I'm going to follow him back.
Like, so is it because you're both very handsome Asian men? Is like, are we going kind of like subculture here? Like, what do you guys? Dustin's super sneaky, guys. I think Dustin's got a little handsome thing going on. Like right now, this like kind of, you got this little like fucking like B-boy, BMX shit going on. Like Dustin, like I've definitely gained more attraction towards you during this tea time.
Thanks. Right back at you.
Thank you, bro. Is it the beard? Anyway, Kurt, if you don't make 3 posts a day, I'm done with you.
Yeah, I know for sure. I get it.
All right.
Awesome. And then is there any way I can come hang out with you guys for like a date?
Yep.
Really?
Work with Dustin. We can have a triple date.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Gary.
Love you, man. See you later. Love you, man. Dustin, do not let that dude come to our office unless he's posting 3 times a day on TikTok.
I will be creepy and make sure.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. Please sign up for WineText. Please go to All In Challenge. Buy your raffle tickets. My raffle is expiring soon. I'm really looking forward to spending the entire year with somebody. Let's talk soon. I love you guys. See ya. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness. I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Practical and Real by FPG Creative. Just love this podcast. Gary's humanity comes through unedited with real, experiential, and practical advice for the entrepreneurial and business owner. He could talk about sports or wine at times, but his advice easily transfers to any business. Thanks, Gary. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.